You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
All right. It's Thursday afternoon, which means it's time for Lulz, a show hosted by me, Peter Overzet, and my co-host, Brick75, one of the top DFS players in the world. Can you figure out that we don't have a lot planned based on this very vague and ambiguous cold open? You might be correct.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no, and let the DFS gods pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
Right. The chat is here. They're ready. Are we talking Giblets? I do have an update on the hoop situation. I touched base with him. He still says he fully intends to come on Lulz, Brian. He's still waiting to get the word from our legal team, but I don't get the vibe he's bullshitting me. I think he legitimately wants to come on. So we're going to have to sit and be patient on that one, but still looking forward to that, Brian.
Sweet. Yeah. Well, maybe eventually. We'll see.
Maybe eventually. Are we the only show covering the Run Pure drama? I don't know if I've seen it.
I heard one other show did. One other show did. I don't know who. Did anyone in chat hear another stream on this? Supposedly, I heard Neil say that somebody else did one. So,
well, because I like to think, you know, people last week said Lulz is built for this kind of stuff. And I'm just kind of curious, like, who's our competition out there? I mean, are we even having to, you know, body people out to be the number one reporters on this?
Yeah, show? I want
to
hear. Yeah, I want to hear it. It's good to know that the RPS, you know, artifice is just so complicated that it takes lawyers and weeks to just negotiate a divorce like that.
I know. Who would have thought from the outside that deep behind there's an inner working, a machinery that must chug along. A Bullock here to call the stream late 1 minute. Yes, I revealed on Ship Chasing last night. My least favorite bit is the chat telling me when I'm late, when I'm only a few seconds late. Because I tell you, these guys, Brian, they get so spoiled. Just consistency from me, shows starting on time, and then you're 30 seconds late and they revolt. I've really created monsters is what's happened.
Is that like the type of person who like complains about the service, you know, the customer service or something when the person has, it's not their fault.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about that type of person.
Yeah. I mean, and that happens a lot too, right? We're also at the age of where people go to social media to be like, Delta sucks. They lost my bags. And then like some poor like soul and customer support has to like deal with you, even though they had nothing to do with actually losing your bags themselves.
Right. Yeah. It's like the guy who's just in Cocaine Bear, he had that great IKEA bit on Twitter where he was an employee for Twitter, and he stands up and he talks all serious. You know what I'm talking about?
I haven't seen that. No. What?
You've got to see it. It's he does this little character guy, and it got so popular he got in Cocaine Bear. You have to watch it now.
Drop the link in the private chat here. Sacrilegious. The best availability is availability. Well said. I believe, was that Michael Scott quoting Michael Jordan quoting Wayne Gretzky who said that? Cocaine Bear. I have not. Did you see that movie?
I have not. No. Okay. Yeah, this guy. Scott Sice. I have to look under my camera. To get the link. That's
what I was also going to say, Brian. Uh-huh. You have like a slightly different angle to your screen today. I feel like we get more composition to your bedroom. It's like more level. I feel like you made a nice adjustment.
Oh, okay. I'll leave it. I thought you wanted me to switch it. Here's the guy's Twitter.
Okay.
I hate that I can't put it in the comments section here on the. But let's see if I can find.
How about this? I just found his Twitter, and he has a post that says, "Here's what you need to know before you see Cocaine Bear."
Okay, you do that while I look for the funny ones.
Okay, is this? Let's see here.
Know before you see Cocaine Bear. Nothing. You don't need to read a comic book from 1978. The bear wasn't introduced at the end of The Eternals. If you've ever heard the words cocaine or bear before, you're completely up to speed. Don't come to this movie for a pop quiz, okay? As Nicole Kidman said, we come to Cocaine Bear for magic. And you're not going to see any articles after, like Cocaine Bear ending explained. You're just going to see ones that say, remember the ending of Cocaine Bear? We do too. It fucking ruled. This movie will be conservatively 1 billion times better than Citizen Kane. Conservatively. Here's what you need to.
All right, which one do I need to check? What's the quintessential Scott Sice?
It's the IKEA one. I found one on YouTube. Maybe we should just watch that one.
Yeah, our Lulz videos have been getting demonetized anyways lately because every other video they flag the intro music. So you know, we can just do whatever these days.
Really? Yeah. Might have to switch that then, huh?
Either that or we just go poor. All right. Let me get this one up here.
That's the he's done a few, and I think that's the combination of all of them. But I saw it on Twitter. But yeah, the first minute and a half.
You just lost yourself a customer. You think I own this business? You think I own IKEA? I'm a part-time employee halfway through a two-week notice. I don't give a shit. I'm telling all my friends not to shop here. Tell them. Think I want 5 other yous running around the store? Have them call me. I'll tell them. You think you hate this place more than me? I work here. I know the sale ended last week, but can I still get a discount? Do you hear yourself? We can't go backwards. Time marches on. You want the sale from 15 years ago, too? When's it end, Diane? You want that price? You're going to have to go through the quantum realm with Ant-Man. You know how much money I spend here? More than you should. Meatballs ain't that good. Save your money and my time. It doesn't matter how much you spend here.
I don't know why that's lagging on my end, but
anyways, that's the pretty gist. Good. Yeah.
The music is really what sells it.
His delivery is pretty perfect.
But yes, that very, very similar, dynamic. Ghost says he, blew up during the pandemic for his IKEA worker vids. Love it.
That's why I brought it up.
Jarrett, what does demonetize on YouTube mean exactly? So basically what's shitty about it is when like I get the theme songs or use the music, it's from a royalty free music site. So it should theoretically be above board, but then eventually, I don't know if like the license lapses, but then some other label comes and says, hey, we actually own the rights to that music. You're more than welcome to continue to use that in your intro, but any money made off of advertising on your video is going to come to us instead. So
it means Pete is so controversial that they're demonetizing his opinion, and you need to help fund him to keep his, keep the word out there on the streets, fighting against the man.
I'm telling you, I had to roll up my sleeves. I was telling Mike and Pat on Ship Chasing last night. I was so disgusted with the quotes I got for mulch for my yard that I've been doing the mulch myself, had it delivered, dumped in my driveway, a heaping pile of mulch. And then I've been like having to use whatever bit of free time I have at night to go spread mulch around. And so it's tough out here, Brian. People are taking money away from my YouTube streams. I can't afford to pay someone to spread my own mulch. I'm down bad.
How hot is it over there? It's getting hot here.
It is. Yeah. I don't know. So today was the, let me check here. Cause it was, we were supposed to get up into the 80s. It's 86 right now, Brian.
Yeah.
86 degrees.
Yeah. I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying.
I know. It's brewing. You've been a little under the weather too. So you've been having a rough go of it.
Yeah. I got COVID over the weekend.
Second time?
No, that was my first time.
That was your first?
It's
really,
yeah. It must target people with tiger blood, this new variant, because I thought I was immune.
For some reason I thought you had it once before. It's so weird. We're in that stage too now with COVID, where it's just like when anyone tells me that they got COVID, I just immediately assume it's the second time, just because we've gone through so many cycles of it.
Yeah, and you never know. I could have had it at some point. Who the hell fucking knows? You know, just never tested positive.
I think, but, you know, I give you a ton of shit for never traveling, never leaving your house and your lake house, but I feel like you get the last laugh because you made it, what, 3 years without COVID?
There you go. See? It's all because of the vaccine, though. That's why I'm so safe and effective.
Here we go. Sorry. Now we're really going to get – not only are we going to get demonetized, we're going to get deplatformed for Brian spreading lies about the vaccine. Let's see here. What, did you have any pretty nasty symptoms, or were you just kind of fatigued?
Nah, it was, it's like a combination of like a weak cold and a weak flu symptoms wise. I was sick for like a day.
Yeah. That was when I got it. Cause I got it last year, actually around this time, it was around Easter. And, only thing I felt was like a little tired for one day. And then it was just like a cold basically, but it didn't derail me too much, but everyone seems to have very different experiences.
Yeah. Yeah. I was definitely tired though.
Yeah.
Definitely tired. I mean, I knew I was sick. Definitely can tell you're sick, but I don't know. I think sometimes you can get like less of a viral load or something, and then it's just not as bad. Who the fuck? They don't know what the fuck they're talking about, Pete.
have you tried to do the thing where you can pinpoint where you got it? Was it a
oh, we know. Thing? Yeah, we know exactly where my family, just my whole family got it
from a birthday Easter
party.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go. It ran through the family there. What was I going to say? Let's see, Drew, good afternoon. Haven't seen you around, Drew. Hope you are doing well here. Brian, you were saying right before we went on, our friend Steve Buzzard has been on an absolute heater in the MLB streets.
Yeah. Every time I wake up and check to see my losses, I see Steve shipped another one. He's won three nights in a row, I think, which
the biggest contest.
Yeah. Which I've never done. And I don't know if I'm sure it's been done, but I don't know if I can think of someone who's done that. I'm not sure if they were all three the big $15 ones. They might have been a high stakes one in there. But they might have been the 15, which is really hard to do, to win the ones with 15,000, 30,000 people in it three times in a row.
I just went to his Twitter feed, and you know he's feeling himself when he's using the Michael Jordan shrug gif over here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, look at that. 50,000 in this one here. Let's see, first place for 100,000 in this one. And, this one was over on FanDuel, 100,000. So 250,000 in 3 days. It's, you didn't win, so it's all luck, right, Brian?
That was all luck for Steve. It's luck for me. It's skill I win.
Is there anything interesting going on in the MLB streets? Is there any like patterns to his like type of lineups or strategies, or is this kind of pretty business as usual in the MLB streets?
You know, I didn't look at any of his lineups. Steve's good. I'm sure he runs hot early in the season a lot. Actually, I think, I wonder if he would agree with that. He's probably just maybe he made some tweaks from last year that are helping him. I don't know. But I mean, I mean, let's be real. Like winning three in a row, he's running extremely hot. It's very fortunate to have the cards turn out for you 3 days in a row.
What would it take? Because, Brian, I don't think I've ever seen you do a post that wasn't a joke of some sort. I've never seen you do a sincere post in this vein, being like, hey, I won playing DFS. If you won 3 days in a row like Steve did, do you think you would do a tweet?
No.
What would it take? What would it take for you to just publicly pat yourself on the back for once?
I mean, I'd do it. I don't care. I'm just not going to do it.
No, I know. And I'm saying, what would it take for
I'll
you to
do it
like,
for nothing, I guess, if you want me to.
No, I don't want, I don't That's have any best interest. I'm just curious.
I'll do it for nothing, but I won't do it voluntarily.
I mean, it's just like, I mean, Brian, you realize too, like if I would have won a best ball tournament for 100,000 or something, I mean, God knows I'm making a meal out of that. I'm just wondering, what would it take for you to make a meal out of it?
I mean, maybe I'll do it for a bit.
Okay. All right.
That would be fun.
What would you do? Like, what would be your reaction? Say like you won one of the NFL week 3 millionaire maker. You finally took down that bad boy. You'd have to acknowledge that in a tweet, Brian.
I was going to, I already thought about it.
Here we go. Okay. Yeah,
if I won a Millie Maker, I'd say I finally broke even on Millie Makers.
Okay. So that's more of the nerdy tenor style of self-deprecating victory lap.
Which might be true. Who knows at this point?
Yeah. That was, yeah. Cause what we were calling out because both was it nerdy and petty theft in there after winning their tournaments recently. And they both had made jokes about it being all luck.
Did they? Yeah. Well, I mean, because Dan is, I mean, he's just the same thing I just said with Steve. Steve's good, but winning three in a row is extremely fortunate. Let's say it's lucky.
Yeah.
So like he knows that running hot in a championship is really like, cause he could have ran hot the 20K to first the night before. And then that would have been his win instead of 250. It's you can't control those things as much as people think is you think you can. He knows that. So, and he's also like randomly selecting his lineups a lot of times from like a cohort of line. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That he's at least he said that on this show, how he picks his team. So, what's like it could have randomly selected a different one, you know? Like
what would you rather have 3 days in a row like him or winning once every 4 months over the course of a year?
Probably once over every four months. I'd rather not, like if those were my only two choices, three
yeah.
And one boom or four over the year, I would do three over the year. So you don't lose for 11 straight months.
That's what I mean. Yeah, yeah. Where it's like fun to be on that heater. But then if you feel the pullback of that for a year, that could be demoralizing. Yeah.
You know, what's interesting too. Like that doesn't necessarily mean you'll lose, but actually it probably does because the prize pools are so in baseball too, they are even worse. Because they're really pushing the 100K to first at the beginning of the season here, and so they're stretching a little bit, which I'm not necessarily against when I win, but I am when I lose. and I've been losing, so I'm against it currently.
Where are you at on that idea of the first place prize still being the biggest driver for like filling tournaments, right? Because like the high volume players, it doesn't matter the site. I was just listening to Davis talk with Nick Redmond from Underdog on his podcast the other day and talking about the prize pools and stuff like that, where it's long been said by platforms, hey, we need the top prize to bring people in to fill this contest. And then the players say, we'll smooth it out. We don't care if it's 50,000 versus 40,000. I just want to realize my edge a little bit better with a flatter playout structure. Like where are you at on that right now?
I think I'm the same I was before. Whatever brings in the most people's what I think is best, especially recreational players. So
it's a trade-off you're willing to make. Like
yeah, it's a trade-off.
Second place being a fraction of first, if it means that more casuals are willing to pile in. I guess then my question is, do you think that actually works? Do you think a casual's playing for 100,000 and they wouldn't be firing a bullet if it was 60,000?
I don't know. That's a good question. Like, I think the conventional wisdom is yes, right? When you say the conventional wisdom is yes, that does bring them in. But I don't know if it if 100,000 really does, I could see a million or 10 million, like Powerball numbers bring in people.
Yeah.
I don't know if 100K really, really does, but it must have some impact. I can't imagine they're shooting from the hip, DraftKings, right? Like, I imagine if they have like data to back this up, that it certainly does.
In the conversation, it's a little bit different for Underdog, whereas because the user experience, if you show up to do a draft and you're waiting for four other people to fill your draft room for 10 minutes and you just get impatient and leave, like that affects it. Like their incentive to get people in the door, I feel like, is even a little more greater, because if people feel like the liquidity isn't there, then they just don't ever want to come back. Whereas at least with DraftKings, it's just like you come on your own terms and submit your lineup. I almost feel like DraftKings could probably get away with flatter payout structures even more than a draft site.
You know what I want is I've said on this show a bunch of times already, is to get rid of, so they lobby and try to get rid of the cap on the amount of players and just make it unlimited, just like poker used to be, because the law says that they have to let you know in advance how many opponents you're going to be against. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, with all like the new legal sports betting and stuff like that, I wonder if they could just not do that anymore. Like, whatever, we're fucking sports betting now anyways. Like, what do you care? Like, without even doing the full lobbying, maybe just like, okay, well, let's go to court, I guess. But like that would definitely get those prize pools much higher. They'd have some random 10 millions, I bet, on some big football Sundays.
What is it? Because I know you obviously have some background with this stuff from the legal aspect. If they were, say that was an attainable thing of being like, hey, UEJA is working relatively well for these fantasy carve outs, but there's one tweak where it's kind of like misunderstanding like the current market. This would help us as platforms. This would help for players. Like, how insurmountable of a hurdle would that be to actually go in and get that tweak in the law made?
I think now they could probably do it because they're so heavily, you know, involved in the apparatus of the state public private shit world of gambling and stocks too, that they probably could go in there and pull it off. Who knows what their federal lobbying wing looks like? I don't think there's that many people pushing back. There'd be that many people pushing back against it. That one tweak, like, who would care? Plus all the now there's casinos across the country that are owned by or affiliated with DraftKings and DFS sites. I'm sure there's always someone pushing back for their cut of the pie. So there's always pushback. Here's an example. Like, the old Speaker of the House here in Illinois would always put a sunset provision on any like tax break for certain industries, any of them. He would always put a sunset provision on them. And a sunset provision is it expires, right? So like the Pete Overzet clause will expire in 2026, right? So like, yeah, you can have as many people join the DFS sites as you want until 2026 and it'll expire. And why does he do that? Right. Well, he might be going to jail actually, but why did he used to do that? Because they always have to come back to him and then ask him for a favor again. And then you could go like, oh, did you donate to the Cook County Democratic Party yet? I don't know if I saw your name down there, Pete. Maybe we'll re-up it. And so like that, like, but anyone who's in the know, who worked at the Capitol, knows that he puts these sunset provisions and all, it requires it in all these bills so that they have to come back to the table again. So like, even if it doesn't have anything to do with someone else's industry, it's not just like you're going to get that shit passed. And it might not be worth it for them to do that, to get that extra liquidity. I think it would be cool if they could pull it off though, as a player.
I'm trying to think, is there any reason why the operators wouldn't want this, right? Because it would be a huge burden lifted off their shoulders if they didn't have to sweat contest sizing and overlay at every turn, right? That has to be a huge thing. They have to have a ton of people working on it. I'm sure there's algorithmic based stuff with the sizing, but still, to know that you could just put these contests up and not worry about eating a ton of overlay based on the interest, like, I assume that everyone would want that.
even best ball.
Right.
Like, it fills early. Like, oh, okay, great. Now the prize pool's $2.7 million or whatever it gets up to. You know, higher the better. And they could keep, and as soon as it busts through that number, they could keep advertising this new number. And there'd be, like, I think, like a Powerball effect, you know, like Super Bowl. The Super Bowl isn't that big, but just a big opening day NFL maybe could get like 5 million to first or something crazy if it just gets lucky. Yeah. You never know.
It is funny, though. Now I'm going to, like, interrogate my own, like, psychological biases. I know in some of these underdog contests, like, you know, in the NBA playoff best ball, they also had the golf, the albatross over the four majors. And I believe both of those had $100,000 up top. And I'm like, yeah, I'll fire at these. Oh, there's going to be a little overlay in here. I'll auto draft some of these. I'll do that, to where I do wonder if it was smaller, if it was half of that, but like really smooth payout, like if it was 50,000 or 25, I'd be like, yeah, hey, I'll sit this one out. I don't know anything about golf, but hey, 100,000 up top and a little overlay. It, so even I am guilty of that myself.
It doesn't guarantee that overlay would be gone, because just like in the poker days, you could still find overlay, right? Cause they would do like 100K. So what happens is there'd be a, you know, a expected point that they would know that they would get mostly, and then they would make some sort of guarantee to entice people to come on and play that day. And sometimes it goes over, but occasionally it wouldn't. So like there'd still be overlay, just not as much.
Yeah.
But they'd still have the guaranteed prize pools. They just put like the $1 million guaranteed, and then, and you know, or make it 500,000 so they know they lock it in. And then everything over that's just gravy. And then occasionally sometimes it wouldn't fill.
Yeah. So you're saying more like they would still guarantee it for the marketing boost, but they would have room to run and not have to worry about spinning up a second smaller version of the Millie, because that one filled 3 days early and then blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I could be wrong, but I would bet money on it that that's how it would go. And I would do two different, like I would do like an unlimited and a cap. So like, you know, do it, whatever, 100-man one, that one's not going to be unlimited. Or you could do a $2,500 100-man. That's it. And then after the 100, maybe they make another one, or they could do, and then also next to that, a $2,500 unlimited. And it's just like, it could go as high as you guys want, but you never know what the cap is, you know? So you give both options, and then eventually they'd find a nice little balance for that people want out of those two.
I've asked you this before. And then you were like, oh, maybe I'll change my mind on this, of like how that would adjust your process. Say there was an uncapped weekly millionaire maker on DraftKings for football, with how your sim stuff goes. And I know you're factoring in contest size with that stuff. Would it be a massive pain in your ass to be rerunning that for a dynamically changing contest size?
I think I said before, was when it's so big, like it doesn't
matter.
It doesn't matter to me if it's, you know, 275,000 or 390,000 opponents. Like, I still think they would cap a lot of the smaller ones. But maybe not. Maybe even the high stakes ones that normally have like 1,000 people in it, maybe they just say, go to town, kids. So you might have to rerun, but like if you're playing,
what about the Thunderdome? What about the Thunderdome? Because what is that normally, like 35 entries or something?
Even the Thunderdome, I would do what I said before, do one with like a 6-man cap and just call it Thunderdome capped, and then Thunderdome no cap. And then no cap is just however many people want to enter. And then eventually they'd figure out what those caps should be, or if they even leave the cap game there. But
do you think there'd be some really interesting game theory to that? On, think about if you had a flood of entries at the last second on the Thunderdome too, where it meaningfully changed the contest size, and then you were basically having to monitor up that, because my guess would, do you think your lineup would be different for a 35 person contest than it would a 100 person contest?
I'm sorry, I was reading that comment. Could you repeat that last sentence you just said?
I said, would your strategy for the Thunderdome be different for a 35-person contest than a 100-person contest?
Yes. Yeah. That one, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Because I'm just trying to say, like, if you have your Thunderdome lineup in there and it's around 35, and then 5 minutes before lock, a bunch of whales decide to, like, toss in their main lineup into the Thunderdome, and all of a sudden in those last 5 minutes, the contest size boosts up 65 inches.
Yeah. That, okay. That's true. That would suck. Because I was going to say that if you're doing your lineups the last hour anyways, like, it's going to be about whatever
it
was at the time, you would think. But then, yeah, you throw in that element, people fucking around. That's true. That, I guess that, that could happen, but yeah, I doubt it.
Yeah. I do think it's just interesting, probably more for those small and mid-sized contests, where your strategy would actually change based on the contest size doubling or tripling in a short amount of time.
Yeah. And we're talking like a fraction of the population that's adjusting at that small of a scale, Pete. So, like, I don't think your regular dude is going to give a shit anyways. Not that you were claiming they would, but
yeah.
So I think it's a win-win. Mark, good marketing, huge prize pools. Who cares? Like, I don't know why you wouldn't pass that, change that law. But, like, maybe they could just do it anyways now with the new sports betting. You know, they're not – you notice they're not claiming the whole this is a game of skill thing anymore, right? Like, remember that was their angle was going to – because I think they were going to get litigious if they couldn't get it passed in all these states. They were just going to – they're going to – say, no, we're a game of skill and we're legal under these new laws and just let the courts figure it out.
Yeah. I guess then the final question is do the sites even care? You know, because my other thing would be, you know, DraftKings isn't investing a lot of time or effort into their DFS product. But then on the other hand, was it last week we were talking about this, how they sent out a pretty big best ball survey to a lot of their users and we're kind of gauging a lot of feedback about how they're player pool thinks about best ball. So maybe they are willing to like reevaluate some of these things.
Yeah. Do they care thing is like, I would assume they do. Usually business doesn't after like the person or people in charge get paid, which kind of has happened already here. And they don't have the same drive as they did before. And they've captured the market so much through regulation that they don't need to compete, you know, then you start seeing it. But otherwise, I think generally speaking, they just, why would they let parts of their business suffer? They would just lose money. This is kind of like, I did a podcast with Davis. So I've got a commie chirping in my ear here. Like, you know, he always goes, cause it's got like this double, you know, this logic that doesn't follow. It's like, oh, all they care about is money and they're so greedy, but they're not going to do the product, right? They don't care about the product. It's like, so which is it? Do they want to make money or do they don't? Are they greedy or are they not greedy?
Wait, is this on a Star Wars podcast? You guys had this conversation?
We because Disney, right? Yes.
Basically, you guys just try to come up with different vehicles to have like socialist conversation and capitalism. It doesn't matter what the vehicle is. You'll shoehorn it in there.
It's 99% dork version shit, basically.
Drew says, I think it would add a lot of casuals having this dynamic contest sizing. Countless slates on all sports where I don't play because I go to the tournament lobby too late and the tournaments are filled. I mean, that is definitely a dynamic, right? And unless you have like, I mean, I'm sure Brian, because you probably are in more of a routine of like kind of constantly registering for contests, but for people who aren't, where it's like, oh, there's a big MMA card. Yeah, I definitely want to play that. And it's like, you get caught with your pants down, like on a Friday evening, 24 hours before lock. And it's like, it already filled. And then you're like, well, shit, I guess I'm not playing this.
Definitely. Chicago, you're usually driving home from work. You know, when people are thinking about registering and playing, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock is right when the contests are starting to fill. So that's a good point. I totally agree with that. And everyone in California has got to fill, do it at work. I guess they're kind of screwed either way. But definitely in Chicago or the Midwestern Real America time time zone would definitely like that.
What is your, I don't know if I've asked you in a while, what is your like process for registering for contests? Like, are you still mission hunting and all of that stuff to make sure you're scooping that up? Do you have like Do you have calendar reminders where you're like, I know I need to go in and register for these contests because it traditionally fills by this time? Like, how do you approach all that?
I just do it in the morning, basically, on my phone. Or if I have some work to do, I do it on my computer. I guess I switch between the two. But yeah, I register so early, it's never a problem for me. Unless something, I have something busy if for some reason I forget. And there's only like that one mission I have to do every time. I have to like remember to claim the rewards and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, well, actually, I have another one to claim.
There you go. Providing a service for you. Thank you. Well, because do you ever do another sweep? Like if they do add another batch of smaller contests, like if things fill, will you then go? Because there obviously are the guys, right, who just are pummeling lineups into literally everything that posted on the site. You're not quite that player, right?
I just revealed my rewards and it's like one of the lowest fucking tier. Even Nerdy Tenor binked that one. Did you see that one where you got like 5 million or whatever?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I totally ruined your question.
No, I was saying, do you ever then do another sweep? Like if the big contests do fill and they release new ones, are you going or to register for those? Or are you just like, no, I got my action, I'm good.
Okay. So if I forgot somehow to register and then I'm like, oh shit, I forgot to register. And I go look and I can't get in, I'm pretty much done. Yeah. Even if they release another one, it's usually not 100K to first or something. So I'll just take the night off. That doesn't happen very frequently. But if they do release another one and I see it, I probably will enter it if I'm also playing everything else. Okay. Not always, though. Yeah.
That makes sense. All right. You just reminded me, Brian, to go check mine. Look at this. Big man on campus, 3,000 crowns, baby.
Wow. Is that good for your
I think I'm generally like 2,000 to 5,000. Yeah. Robert says, how about the run from the Colts? You're behind, man. We already covered this in the first half hour of the show. This
Robert.
Our big takeaway was Steve is feeling himself a little bit too much, equating himself to the Michael Jordan of DFS, I think is basically what he did with that tweet.
The Colts has crowned himself the greatest DFS player of all time.
It's a bummer. I mean, the Colts, I just don't think it's possible for him to get into a beef with anyone. You know, I just don't know who's actually going to get mad enough at the Colts that they're going to challenge him heads up for roles.
It's not in his personality.
It's just not in his personality. Mm-hmm. It's we still have like the beefs in the poker world continue to roll on. They're putting up what is Joey Ingram working on right now? $1 million buy-in cash game, I think, at the Hustler Casino. What do we need? $1 million DFS contest? How many people could you get to line up for that one?
Huh. Probably not many.
Yeah.
You probably could get, I bet EM2 would do it.
Yeah. I bet Osimo would, right?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
Even because, think about it this way, right? So, and one of the things Doug has been doing, you know, to help promote his channel, to promote his card room, is these high stake challenges. I'll play anyone $100,000 heads up, $500,000 heads up, where he's clearly writing off some of it from a marketing expense too. Like Doug's not just doing this behind closed doors. Like this is marketing. Would there be benefit for someone like Osmo or someone at one of these sites to sit in whatever a mega high stakes challenge would be, knowing it would bring a lot of eyeballs to the site?
Nah, I don't think for Osmo anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think so. How many is that going to bring to stochastic.com?
The thing is probably disproportionate, right? The audience size relative to, you know, having a card room or a training site for poker, the addressable audience is just so much bigger than it is for DFS. It would be $1 million marketing expense. The math probably just doesn't add up for DFS ecosystem.
Yeah. It would help. It would help like DraftKings a little bit.
Yeah.
Like FanDuel, this is another one of those, is it profit or do they not care? Are they greedy or do they not care? FanDuel, Jesus. Because speaking of that TakeCast you mentioned, I was remembering, like, didn't they buy Draft.com?
So they launched Draft.
the product, the former Underdog. That was their product. And then they sold it to FanDuel.
That's what I said. FanDuel buy Draft.com? Imagine buying Draft.com and then just, we're not going to do it. We're not going to use it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I assume there was some kind of like, you know, a year, 2 year kind of moratorium on being able to use it. And then once that period had gone, then they're like, all right, we're just going to make the same product again and call it Underdog.
Yeah. Especially if you're not going to do it. Okay. It's just, I don't know. It seems crazy.
Hang on, back to this $1 million, because that's one of the things like Joey's been working on. Who's your dream lineup for that? Who would be, let's not even go into the logistics, who it would make sense to do it. Who would be like six people, obviously still realistic, right? You can't put me in your dream $1 million lineup for DFS, as much as I know you would love to have me in there, Brian. But who would be like the six people that you would love to see battle it out in a contest like that?
Big T and Hoop, arch nemesis. Okay. They hate each other.
I mean, those are good. That's a very good start.
Chess is okay, and Ricky D.
Okay, I like this. So you're almost building up mini rivalries within this. I think you got to do Osimo and Empire.
Okay.
Let's expand it then too, because that's already six, and that's a nice six right there.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Big T and Hoop, Chess is okay, and Ricky D, Osimo, and EM2.
We could put Mac Lovin and his partner, SNR or whatever, in there. Okay, I'm kidding.
What about two other guys on like opposite ends of the spectrum if we're doing mini pairs? How about RBX88 and Nerdy Tenor as another two that we put in here?
Okay. Yeah, definitely RBX88. You could throw him in any show you want.
I'm following RBX88 on Instagram too. It's so funny. He was at the gun range yesterday. Just a clip of him. He also shares lots of Joe Biden memes. RBX, the gift that keeps on giving.
You know, if it's RBX, his pair should be a girl DFS player.
Okay.
Because he will either hit on her or just complain that she's involved.
Okay. So we have a solid eight. The chat suggesting whistles would be a good one. People say Mock Lovin. I don't know. I mean, Brian, we do have to get you in there. Like, if this is going, who do you want to face off against if you have your own little pair?
Do I get to sell any of my shares of 1 million? Just my 1
million. I assume in this game, most people would be selling some shares to make this happen.
Or is it just sponsored, outright sponsored by DraftKings?
But if DraftKings, if we are doing $1 million free roll, I would like to.
No, you made your choice.
How about we throw you versus Davis? If we're going to do this, Davis in there. Davis having $1 million lineup would
be would probably beat me. He would probably, that would happen. We'd both lose. Here's what would happen. Like, we'd both lose, but he'd take like eighth and I'd take ninth. Just so we both don't win any money, but he gets to rub that in my face.
Oh, yeah. You would say he would optimize his lineup not to get first place, but just to beat you.
For sure. Yeah. I'm just saying, however, the DFS gods would I bet like Chess is okay would win.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah.
All right. Here's the running tab that so we got Big T Hoop, we got Chess is okay, Ricky D, Osmo,
you should put this in list on random.org and we could just figure out who would win.
that's how we're gonna determine it. Yeah. Here's some other fun ones. Yeah, you know, if we have Bales and Jennings, let's see. You know what? CSU has been he's been very worried about AI. So we could have CSU versus ChatGPT. ChatGPT actually enters a lineup into this contest. I think that could be a good one.
Yeah.
This
could be a bracket.
Do we need an old school? You know, you got your Condias, your Max Dowry.
I would do, honestly, some of these names I might cut it off here and then start doing. Oh, that's a good one. But yeah, celebrities.
Ooh, hang on. These two back to back, I'm doing it. Blender versus Randone, I think, seems like a really good one. they're going to be.
I think if you're going to get your $1 million free roll, you should be against Randone.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry, Blender.
You want that really?
Who's Blender? We need Blender in here though. Who's Blender going to go?
Blender versus Levitan.
Ooh, okay. The hand in the dirt versus play whoever you want. I think
Levitan would just be annoyed by Blender. So it'd be funny to have to sit there.
It is funny because sometimes you do have those realizations, and you know, this happens in real life too, where you have like friends of friends, and you know, I feel like you and I are kind of loosely connected with a lot of people in DFS, but like, I don't think I've ever seen Levitan and Blender like interact with each other or have anything to do with each other. It's just weird that there's these pockets of DFS that actually have no overlap. And maybe I'm forgetting something, but in general, I don't, there's certain combinations of people you do not associate with
each
other.
That's true. Yeah. 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 Did Levitan ever go on RotoGrinders for anything?
He was on RotoGrinders back in the day because he had that three-man show with El Jefe and JM to win. That was back in the like early days of RotoGrinders. We got to get Smizzle on. Who's Smizzle going against?
He's got to go against Fantasy Dave.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I know you might not like that, but FC Dave, you're going to have a controversy.
Okay. So, yeah, this has kind of turned more into a bracket thing, but I do like the idea of a $1 million game, but there's also many rivalries within it. It's kind of like Survivor, you know.
Basically. We got an AI bot competing.
We do have the AI
bot. Modern.
Yep. Have you had any of – I've been messing around with ChatGPT more. I have been just kind of keeping it up throughout the day and just whenever I think of it. I've been having it write descriptions for like YouTube streams, because what I've been doing is basically manually keeping track of timestamps just because it's not good enough yet to do that. But if I give it the timestamps, it's really good at writing me descriptions and stuff. So I've been trying to like mess with it a little bit more. I'm not like a coding genius. I've had it help me out with a few different like Excel formulas that I probably would have taken me forever to Google, and it spit out pretty quickly. But have you had any other ChatGPT use cases?
Nothing good yet. Nothing. But I admittedly haven't been using that much. Have you seen these like, what are they called? Like the baby GPTs and stuff popping up?
Yeah. I keep seeing like threads with more where they're like, ChatGPT is old news. The Randazzler GPT is the hot new thing. And I'm like, what is that?
I do like on my computer now, I got the Bing, whatever it's called. I guess they don't have a name for theirs, but because I could just click it really quick. And for a lot of these answers, they're pretty, I did have a good one the other day. What was it? Cause like a good use case for this stuff is also just like, what is the best dishwasher? Mm-hmm. What's the best tractor? Like, because even Google, you get like 10 minutes of ads and then you have all these clickbaity ones, right? Like the top dishwashers and you know, you just want, just give me the best general expensive brands or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it did a good job for what was it? I can't remember what I was looking for, but it actually was helpful.
Why do you think sometimes when you have queries like that, though, and specifically if it involves data, you always get the disclaimer like my data only goes back to 2021. But as of the last, like, how do we have fucking machine learning, but it can't scrape more updated data? And it's not like I'm asking for like something that happened last night. Like, that's a long time ago to not be able to do.
That's another reason why I want I click the Bing one sometimes, because I think they're up to date.
Yeah.
See if it knows who you are. Do you know who Pete Overzet is? And I will not be sharing my computer after last week's almost debacle.
It's so funny. It was what were we on last? Oh no, we were on Swolecast yesterday, and I copied and pasted Davis's article into ChatGPT and asked for a 3-sentence summary of it. And I was like, Davis, do people really need to read this if they just get this 3-sentence summary? And I took a screenshot of my ChatGPT query solely because I didn't want to screen share some of the things I've been searching on ChatGPT.
Okay, here's what it says about you. I'll put in chat here, but I want to say before you read that, one thing that's interesting about all these is the sightings on ChatGPT They don't cite anything. And you know they're just scraping out all these people's sites and work. To me, that seems like that's going to be a legal issue for them going forward. And if you do Bing, they cite everything. And so, for example, your response, they do know who you are. There was fantasylife.com, twitter.com, bleacherreport.com, peteroverzet.com. That's the key. That's how Davis Maddox
Wait, what was on Bleacher Report about me?
Let's click. February 19, 2019. Top Shot.
Oh, the good old days. Peter Overzet, NBA Top Shot thought leader. Now that you say that, I do remember doing a couple interviews back then.
Bales is so sharp. You go right for Bales nuts.
I remember that.
Bales is so sharp, and he could just kind of this looks so good in hindsight, and he just kind of does dumb things or make bad investments. So it's easy to blindly tail him, says Peter Overzet.
Not financial advice, my God. That it was so funny about that, Brian, is it was because I made the NBA Top Shot bro video, and then they just lumped me in with like all the people that was actually spending significant amount of money on Top Shot. And next thing you know, I'm doing interviews for Bleacher Report. But thank you for reminding me of that. It is an interesting thing, the citing stuff, because like you said, in a way, what ChatGPT is like a machine learning version of Google meets Wikipedia. But with like Wikipedia, you see all the sourcing for that stuff. It would be nice to see, and you got to imagine from their perspective, it wouldn't be hard to index that, right? Because it's clearly pulling from all these sources to like show your work. That wouldn't have to be that hard, I would assume, on their back end.
And even if it's not, like, tough luck, like you're going to get sued, you would think that would be illegal. I don't know. It looks like Microsoft is playing it safe and citing all this stuff. Because ChatGPT doesn't have a Chrome or anything to make extra money off of ads and stuff. So yeah, they don't want to share any links. Did you see Elon Musk tweet about that where he said, how does a nonprofit charity turn into a $30 billion company? And I invested in it. It's
like, yeah. I did listen to Jennings had recommended the CEO of OpenAI. I'm blanking on his name, but he was on I'm butchering this. It was who has the podcast? Is it Friedman? Sam Friedman? Anyways, he had an interesting interview, and just like understanding like the dynamics of how their company is set up, you know, where it is like set up as a nonprofit, but then they took, I believe, Bing and Microsoft are own 10% of OpenAI right now. It was like a very weird hierarchy to how that organization operated. And now they're like a nonprofit that also has to make like very large business decisions and integrations with Microsoft. So I don't know. It seemed complicated.
Oh, okay. I think they answered your question in chat there.
Lex Friedman. Sorry. Lex.
Okay.
Sam Bankman-Fried. Yeah.
Yeah. Lex Bankman-Fried.
Yeah. He's a total scammer. That's what I call him. Isn't it hilarious though, too, when you think about how like Bing was literally a punchline forever in the search engine game. It was like Ask Jeeves and Bing or whatever. And Google swallowed up everything. And now it seems like, I mean, Google's scrambling. They released their own shitty version, the Bard. Yeah. And now it's like, no, Bing might actually be the most powerful search engine, and Microsoft integrating this AI. I mean, it's crazy to think that Google could get swallowed up by this stuff.
Yeah. And, I'm not holding my breath. They're still a huge company, tons of money, tons of influence.
Yeah.
I think they're behind this TikTok bill ban, or at least part of the coalition to try to get. I saw there was a release the other day about this organization that talking shit about Twitter since Elon bought it, about hate speech rising and stuff, funded by YouTube and Google, right? By Google and Facebook. The organization, right? It's like, okay, they're still in the game. So But they fucked up because they had a monopoly, essentially, at least on this aspect. And I would rather go to a Bing like chat, like if it gets good enough to like search for the next track, like tell me what tractor I should buy or whatever, than go to Google for something like tractor. Because Google for that stuff, it's ruined. Like the first, how many ads are first, how many results are ads, right? Like straight up ads. And then the next top are, you know, like the 10 best tractors of 2023. And you go there and it's totally like that clickbait. They just, you know, SEO optimized perfectly for you to go. And it's not like someone's opinion that you'd respect or want, or a bunch of real people's opinions. It's better to search and put like Reddit at the end a lot of the time. You know what I mean? Or some other, or search through Twitter or something to get like real people's opinions, or look at reviews or something. Then to go to Google and get information on a lot of things. And it was better. It was better 15 years ago, 10 years ago, like when it was less curated and less so optimized. Like people probably got better at the algorithm too, which also helped probably ruin it. But I mean, I would much rather use Bing's AI or something else AI a lot of the times. And I find myself, instead of going to Google, going to these places. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, it's definitely started to replace a lot of that stuff for me. And specifically, like I said, I use that example of, I was trying to figure out something to do in Excel, which I'm sure all of you would laugh at me and you just inherently know how to do. But it would have taken me like Googling multiple places and reading through like example code and then whatever, to where like I could go to ChatGPT and give the exact cells that I'm trying to do this on, and it spits me out the exact code for those cells that's legit copy and paste, like fully customizable to my problem. And so stuff like that, the way it's like short circuiting that, is just incredible.
That is awesome. I don't know. The only way they can make money is subscription, right?
Right. I mean, they could do advertising, but I mean,
I mean,
could slap ads on there.
I guess you could slap ads on there. Yeah. Okay.
But I would be fascinated. Is there any public data on how many subs they have right now? Say like ChatGPT 4 or whatever, just like the premium $20 a month. I wonder, how many do you think they have?
That's a good question. We could ask ChatGPT.
I know. Like, do you think, like, I wonder how long it would take for them to get as many subs as like, I don't know, fucking Netflix, right? Like not that comparable of like a price point and stuff like that, is how much it would be involved in your life. Like right now, if you told me I could only have Netflix or ChatGPT, I'm definitely taking ChatGPT.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, I don't use Netflix a lot, so that's kind of easy for me, but like, but also I think the other ones aren't that bad for what my needs. So like I could use Bing or,
okay.
I haven't tried Bard yet, but I heard that one's pretty bad.
All right. Sir Shibby is the Doge dog is now doing AI technology. So if Sir Shibby's doing it, it's got to be a pretty big number.
They had 100 million users their first 2 months. 13 million
with the free daily product. Yeah.
13 million daily visits.
I wonder, too, what is – my guess is maybe not enough people – of the initial users have hit enough friction to feel compelled to pay for the premium version. Like they're probably pretty content still messing around with the free version. Like, I don't know for the average user, if it's like, oh shit, I can't do this thing I really want to do. I got to get the paid version.
I haven't dealt with anything yet. Yeah. You know, we'll see. I, you know, what would be make sense is these little, where you could use the API feed to like, implement it into your site or your Excel sheet and stuff like that, or do daily tasks for you. Like that sort of premium product makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And there already are sites. Like I use this, this site called, have you heard of it? Zapier. It's spelled Z-A-P-I-E-R. And they basically allow you to stack like various automations. So like a random one is like when a new newsletter posts, either my newsletter or the Fantasy Life newsletter, it can do, I was able to create an RSS feed. And then it's able to say, when this RSS feed hits, post in the Discord underneath this channel. And you can come up with strings of it, of like
say, when I get an email from this person, I want you to immediately put it in a row in this Google Sheet with this information. So it allows you to automate it. And they're now starting to roll out lots of like integrations with ChatGPT. And I don't know if their company somehow has access to the API or whatever with it too. But I do think that's where this stuff is going too, of like automations coupled with AI. You can definitely see the use cases there.
And it, yeah, it's got to get a little more user-friendly, like dumber-friendly, that kind of stuff where it's like, yeah, you can give someone the code to like put somewhere, but they don't know where to put it. They don't know what they're doing, you know. I don't know how far they could take that, but if they could make it even more user-friendly to do some, like, I want a thing like this, and it builds it for you or adds on to your app, Excel, Word, whatever, email, and it actually builds it out, and it just says, okay, download this file and execute it, and you have a new app on your computer. Like, whew, that could,
yeah,
and you could probably do that. They might end up doing that.
Yeah. Well, if anyone ever has new and fun ways that they're using ChatGPT, definitely drop it in the Lulz Discord. Somehow I just can't compel myself to click on some of these tweet threads that are telling me the various ways they're using it. But if you actually have a practical way, I'd be happy to hear about it. Brian, anything else going on in your neck of the woods before we get out of here?
No, not really. We got MMA this weekend.
Yeah.
Who's fighting? Max Holloway.
Oh, nice.
Remember him?
Yeah. Someone in, I was doing my office hours in the Fantasy Life Discord earlier this week, and someone asked me if we were going to do another MMA hang anytime soon. And I said, I bet we can get together for one this summer and do an MMA hang.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, this, nice weather. I kind of want to hang outside this Saturday, but
yeah,
we should do one where it's like the 2 o'clock starts or something.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah. Something I would definitely enjoy a more manageable start time.
Right.
Sweet. Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention too. And I mentioned this on Best Ball Breakfast, and I think a lot of you sharps here in the audience would be interested in this too. So I'm going to be hosting the Best Ball Data Bowl with the guys over at Fantasy Data Pros. They offer courses to teach you how to basically level up your Excel usage and then move on to Python. So whether you're trying to do data analysis, like we've seen Leone doing over with his best ball research. And so we're going to have a best ball data bowl. Anyone can enter, although it will greatly help if you're new and can learn some of the Python skills offered in their courses. And so, yeah, submissions are going to be open for a little while. And I'm going to start doing some more content about this. And I'm sure Brian hates this idea because we're going to create more fantasy data monsters, which I know you want to keep out of these streets, but you know, we got to provide these people with the tools to take you down, Brian.
Do they have any downloadable data that you can get from Best Ball? Because I wouldn't mind screwing around with some Best Ball results. I didn't see any on there, though. I did go to that site.
Yeah, we're going to get some too. And I got to talk with Underdog too for getting some of the data sets that people are going to be able to work with and some of the data that Leone has been working with. Strammy is in these streets. So yeah, it'll be fun because I've always been jealous. Like I'm not smart enough to do all this stuff on my own, but poking around through the courses and stuff, they really do bring you along from the beginning. And I will say, of course, you can get a discount with promo code Pete. I'm working on hammering out what exactly that is going to be. But if you're interested in the courses, you can let me know. And I'll be talking about this more on upcoming streams. But I can feel it right now, Brian, based on Leone's deep dive and stuff. It's going to be a fun summer for best ball, for people trying to solve this game in a way that maybe DFS is already getting close to efficient market.
Yeah. Yeah. This will be a good year for best ball. You still have there's still time.
Yep. There is still time before Brian decides it's worth it to tie up some of his bankroll for 9 months in these contests. Mm-hmm. All right. Audio, as always, will be up on the Lulz podcast feed. Maybe if Steve Buzzard, you know, goes for six in a row, we could have him back on the show. If you ever know of anyone who would be fun to have on the show who is also a millionaire, those are the prerequisites. You can let us know.
For Brian, are you going to have any ownership up this week on MMA?
Yep.
Projections?
Projections, ownership. We'll be good.
There you go. Check it out. Brick75.com. I'm Pete Overzet. I'll have a new, I have two things tomorrow. I'm going to do a special edition of Best Ball Breakfast, hockey edition. I'm bringing on DJ Mitchell. A lot of you guys know him in the Underdog and NHL streets. He's going to teach me how to draft playoff teams on Underdog for hockey. We got ADP chasing in the afternoon at 1 on the Ship Chasing channel, and I'll have a new newsletter out as well, the PO box, tomorrow morning. So appreciate all of you guys for hanging out. Good luck this week in all of your contests and endeavors. We'll see you next time.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.